when they started coming down from the mountain. So he sent word to the underground of Miami, send me young men that can help me administer the territories that we're taking over. And some of those people were part of the shit, the Jesuits. ¿Estaba oyendo?
Sí, pero cuando ellos empezaron a jalar la loma, ¿cuándo? ¿En qué? What time period?
When they started, before they, well, they came down from the mountain and went to Bayamos, Palmasoriano, Santiago, and then flew to Havana when Batista fled.
Oh, so when they started coming down after Batista fled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before Batista fled.
Mm-hmm.
Before Batista fled. And this Jesuit boss here in Miami, Llorente is his name.
Amado Llorente.
Armando
Llorente, que fue el profesor de Castro en Belén.
That's right. And he's still the big chief. Okay? This is serious business. He travels to Cuba. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's staying
here
as
well?
Yeah, he's the boss of the Jesuit
Town.
Came to the U.S. in the early 60s after Castro took Belén school away from the Jesuits and took all their property.
Yeah. Anyhow, don't interrupt a bit.
Okay.
Beth's mind isn't that sharp. They came down from the mountain and they asked young men. And these people sent a group of young men. One was Artime and one was Francisco. And I think another one was a fellow called Quintero, who kicked the bucket. And anyhow...
Francisco was Diaz Sancho.
No, senor. Rafael Diaz Sancho was the boss of Unidad. A firm, wonderful person.
And who was Francisco?
Francisco, ¿cómo se llamaba? Francisco. I'll get you the name.
Okay.
And Sori told them, when they came and they met Sori in Palmasoriano, eh? When they already were well on their way, Sori told them, see me in Santiago, eh? In Santiago he told them, see me in Havana, eh? And they went, when they arrived in Havana, they went to see Sori at the Ministry of Agriculture, where Sori was named Minister of Agriculture. And Sori named Artime and gave him un nombramiento of lieutenant in the rebel army and orders to go to La Sierra Maestra and join a thing called Comandos Rurales that Sori had organized, because he knew what was taking place in La Mina del Frio. I don't know if you, I'm probably a thing that you heard about.
They were training guerrillas for Latin America.
That's right. They were already at that. And so he wanted people of his, theirs, to see and check all that. And Francisco, he named him en un negociado, which was a department in agricultura. And Jaquime erased the nombramiento de lieutenant and put in capitán and got a nombramiento of capitán when he went to Colombia, the cuartel de Colombia.
So we're talking here early 1959.
That's right. The first month.
He
never went to the Sierra Maestra. He joined Raúl's wife. What's her name?
Vilma Fing
at the Hilton penthouses, where they were planning La Reforma Agraria and the destruction of human property and agriculture. And that's why Sori tells them that when this ship comes to see him. Hand in hand with CIA handyman Machuaca.
Also, Artime went to see Sori Marin
here.
Oh, here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's why you.
But so when does Sori Marin break with the revolution?
Oh, this fellow that's sitting here was here in exile because the army Batista wanted to. Dame camino, eh? Because the root evil of everything that has happened in Cuba is Fulgencio Batista under the Diaz Hermoso. Never forget that. Never forget that. Never forget that. And find out who Batista was. He was not a Cuban. He was a Colombian. And that all goes back a un malicón que se llamaba Sumner Wells. And that's where the whole penetration of the Communist Party starts watering in Cuba. But it destroys the government of Cepedes and put in Batista. Sumner Wells did that.
Okay. Pero me está diciendo que Sori que quiso venir 7 veces a Estados Unidos.
Where did Sori start?
Mm-hmm.
Now I tell you that I left here on the 3rd of January and was at my house in Miramar the 5th of January for la noche, and they knocked on the door. 3 truckloads of rebels who had orders to take me to Farasi. Perugutia wanted to see me urgently. And I went. And Urrutia put a gun in my chest and told me, Alberto, you have to take charge of the sugar industry. I said, no, yes, no, no, for 30 days. I said, okay, 30 days. And this fellow took charge at 40 years old of the sugar industry. So he was in agriculture. 2 months after that, more or less, day with my wife, so he started coming to agriculture, to my despacho, and worked there from 4 or 5 in the morning, because he couldn't work at the agricultura, because everybody tried to get puesto, mierda. So se me pidió si podía ir. And right there, we started what was to become Unidad Revolucionaria, which later was formed around November, where all other groups, Santa Noviembre, all those joined Unidad.
So Unidad was formed around November
of 60.
Of 1960.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we had started the process in 59. By March, we had started them.
By March of 59?
Yeah.
And what was the major dissatisfaction that you, Sori Marin, and these others had with the revolution?
It was a communist takeover. About the 20th of January, I flew to Oriente.
1961? 60. Oh, 60.
Después que había tomado posesión del Instituto del Azúcar. And there I went to see all my things, my family things, my friends and my partner, and especially to see 2 big shots in the rebel army. And I won't tell you their name because they're inside.
So I asked them who?
They're no longer the commandantes, but they are the government. And one was about the number 4 in the whole military apparatus, 3 or 4, grabbed me at his command, but he took me by the hand after he had made, had cafe made, and all his officers came to meet me. And he shoved them away and took me into his room, locked the door, took me into his bathroom, locked the door, grabbed me. This I haven't told hardly to anybody. Grabbed me. Eso ha sido sangre. Y dice, todo ha sido un inútil. Son un atajo de comunista. Okay? From that news and confirmation of what we felt
creeping up on our ass.
Huh?
I called un americano de confianza and sent him to a certain place in the U.S. with my handwritten note saying that that wasn't going to happen.
But you had gone, I think you had previously told me that you went to college with somebody.
I went to college with Mayor Kennedy.
Oh, you went with Kennedy?
To prep school.
Oh, the prep school. But weren't you like a college roommate of somebody that was later in the CIA?
No. Kirkpatrick was a pal of my brother-in-law.
Oh, Lyman Kirkpatrick was a pal of your brother-in-law.
Okay. Don't put that down.
No.
Pero, ya se murió mi brother. But, what, where were we? Oh.
That is,
and that news that I have sent by hand to New York and to Washington made the round trip to a shit called Bonsall, who was the U.S. ambassador.
Philip Bonsall.
See. And I had sent to the embassy a person of my trust with 25 passports del alcalde de Bayamo y su familia, who had come and had a tremendous, era Vaticano, and had had a tremendous fight with the army when they had dared arrest me for false bajo limit. False. Anyhow, I sent those passports out. A un maricón que se llama Wayne Smith, que todo ha oído de él. ¿Sí? Todo ha oído de Wayne Smith.
Sí, el amigo de Fidel Castro.
Sí. Y que me pasara, le diera la vista a estos 20 enseguida. And they held up the passports. Y era que el embajador quería hablar conmigo. Because his information for Washington was completely different. Mine. And I just walked into the embassy one Saturday, just made an appointment, and walked solito a la embajada a buscar mi pasaporte y a ver qué quería el maricón. And that shit told me that he was completely opposed to my views, that they were just young nationalists who would settle down and everything would be all right. ¿Tú estás oyendo?
Sí, sí. ¿Lo dijo Wayne Smith?
No,
Bonsall.
Y le dije, Mr. Ambassador, you just lost in the woods without a compass. You don't know what's going on. Me cago en la. Había un americano sentado allí en un silla que reportó esta conversation. He never reported that conversation.
¿El americano era un?
Que un americano estaba sentado con él, que era un CIA, y el CIA recortó la conversación,
oh.
Pero él no la recortó.
Oh, okay.
Okay? I'm just jumping around. Right. There are things that you don't know about that I might keep the pocket any day. You might just know and know. So that's where we are. I came out.
¿En qué fecha saliste?
El 14 de Julio del 60. With all my kids. Got all my family out.
You got all your family out of your family?
Yeah, I started operating.
Oye, ¿cómo fue que empezaste a operar? I mean, who contacted you?
Did nobody.
You? Okay.
That's the problem. And that's why we're here. We did it because we did it. And then los americanos sabíamos that we were going to do it. And I started from Marathon to Aradero, which is the same distance that Key West to Havana, because the keys go like that and make a curve. And I made a first trip, and when I came out and arrived in Marathon the first trip, había un americano ahí parado, y el americano ahí en adelante era el jefe aquí, un caballero, un fenómeno, y con el cual funcionamos hasta después de cochino.
Who was this guy?
Dominicano. He got in combat in Congo.
Oh, you don't remember anything?
Yeah, I know his name. Very bad.
Okay.
Good guy. Good guy. And we did everything that was had to be done, we did it. There was a few others that did something. But I didn't see any damn Cubans. Oite, lo cubano nieta, lo rico, lo well to do. Nobody lifted a finger. Then out of our crew emerged people like Tony Cuesta. So you can tell wonderful stories about him. And he operated through the Bear Pig and after that on a cosa que se llama Comando L. But there's another thing that happened after all this disaster. Is that Kirkpatrick reported it tells about the Tejana.
Not Mr. Patrick.
In the report, it tells about the Tejana and how many pounds of hardware and things the Tejana took in the month of February. Wait.
Entonces ustedes con el Tejana lo que están llevando armas a Cuba.
Armas and the other stuff. The other stuff.
What, explosives, weapons?
The other stuff.
No lo sé.
C3 and C4.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's the pounds that we took in. Okay. All that is on record as an example to the ships.
¿Y cuándo es la primera vez que tú viajas en el Tejana?
Well, after every trip of El Real that I told you about, tenía en el cruz El Real do Americano. And I sent them to New Orleans to look for a ship that was what we wanted. And then, about the 1st of December, no, last day of November, the rest of the day here, after we went to Cuba on the Real, then they go fly to me. They called me and said, I think we've got what you want, and I went. And it was the Tejana, and I bought it. And we got it ready. We brought it here. We got the dock for it, the warehouse, on the Tower Ferry, the Americano Union Ferry. Me dio todo lo que yo quería. When he said goodbye to me, after giving me everything of the warehouse and the dock and whatever I needed, he would grasp my hand and said, count on me for whatever you need. Alberto, you're never going to go back. ¿Tú estás oyendo?
Sí, estoy oyendo.
¿Estás oyendo? Hace 45 años de eso, el americano magnífico ese me dijo eso.
¿Ese es el que murió en el Congo?
No, el dueño de los ferries.
Okay,
dueño de los ferries. I'm just telling you things. They will sit down and say more things.
Oye, en lo de, entonces, tú empezaste las misiones con el barco El Real.
Yeah.
¿Qué era tu barco?
Un barco de la Air
Force. Ok. ¿Y cuándo fue que empezaste a funcionar con El Real?
El Real, about the first week of September.
First week of September?
Oh, yeah.
¿Y le pusiste el número y me dijiste por la...
La batalla de Santo.
Ok. El Real era el nombre del barco ese de Austria en la batalla de Lepanto,
del
almirante.
De Don Juan de Austria.
Don Juan de Austria. Entonces empezaste con el Real en septiembre hasta que empezaste a usar el Tejana en diciembre.
Yeah.
¿Y como cuántas misiones tú crees que hiciste en el Real a Cuba?
Siete
misiones. ¿Y en el Tejana cuántas?
Every week.
Toda la semana.
Every week for January, February, March, and 10 days before the fifth. Sometimes that was every 2 weeks, and then it would be less than a week.
Pero, y el Tejano no estaba, no tuvo un tiempo, wasn't it docked up in, wasn't it docked up in West Palm Beach, up in Palm Beach?
No.
No. Where was it? In Tahana.
Yeah, I was up in Key West.
In Key West?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't say it.
I pulled out a picture there where the Tejanas were a smaller boat.
Don't think
any more notes because you cannot write all this down.
Okay.
Because it's more than you can write down. This, you cannot compress 20 years of this. After the Bay of Pigs commences, and that's why I showed you another picture, where the Tejanas were there. 4 months after the Bay of Pigs, we started the other lucha, which lasted until 68, cuando subió al poder el maricón hijo de puta de Nixon. ¿Oíste? And that was the infiltration of Cuba. And it is the infiltration of Cuba that one of his scenes, directed by me, and the team leader is here, that we found the missiles. And that's not known. Americanos no encontraron los missiles. Fuimos nosotros, trabajando con la CIA, con unos americanos de la CIA. And you are going to have to learn a lot about certain things. And one is that after the Bay of Pigs, a new element of the CIA came to here. Up to the Bay of Pigs, they were experts on Asia. After the Bay of Pigs, they were experts in the Russian confrontation. And we infiltrated the island of Cuba, north and south. And in one of those infiltrations, which were teams that were operating inside of Cuba, that you don't know anything about, the missiles were discovered in a place called Banes Oriente. And it was sheer luck that they were discovered. And they were discovered because one of the guys in one of these pictures, Joaquin, brought to me, after the death thing, un colono de Banes de la United Fruit Company, de la United Fruit Company, a colono sugar colono.
Mm-hmm.
He came out to see qué había pasado, coño. ¿Qué se desastre? ¿Qué vamos a hacer ahora? And he went back in with secret writing facilities. ¿Está oyéndome? This is between ella, you, and me. And all of a sudden, one of his letters arrived, and it was chemically treated to see what the hell it said. And I got a rush call from the head man here, Davide, y me dijo, I have to see you right now. Right now, 8 o'clock at night, he said, see, right now, I came because I said, okay, and I went to bed. Before I hung up, I said, what's the problem? He said, Alberto, the shit has hit the fan. Yeah, que la carta avisaba. Listen to this. Que en una loma detrás de Bane había a humongous cave. And that cave had a so big that it had a stream, a little stream went through the cave. And all the ice of the north half of Oriente was being taken by trucks to that cave. That meant, at that time of the atomic war preparation, You remember that the missiles had clouds of, like clouds coming out of the missiles of the oxygen and the nitrogen. Now that doesn't occur because it's solid fuel. They don't have that now. But then it had
liquid fuel.
Liquid, and that liquid needed a humongous quantity of ice to maintain it liquid. Okay? So that indicated right there that something was going on there. Well, it so happened that we had an infiltration team on the south side of Nipele. The boss is here of that team. Talked to him every 3 or 4 days.
Kenya?
Una persona. Un cubano.
Okay.
¿Para qué tú quieres
hablar? No, no pasa. Coño, porque me estaba hablando cosas que me dice que son...
I'll tell you, because we cannot talk and you cannot write down these little things. It's a humongous thing. Are you going to write, are we going to write down 30 years of things right now?
No, está bien, está bien. Bueno, dile, sí.
Ejemplo, trabaja en una cosa que se llama Goodwill Industries.
No, porque yo conozco mucha gente que estuvieron en esas misiones que se empujó a otra gente. That I might know them.
You might know, you don't know this guy.
Okay.
And one thing was certain missions, another thing were other missions. Okay? That's not the mission of being in there and operating in there and having the leaders in there. Those were not that type of thing. That was only a handful. It's very easy. Lo importante es los individuación que estaban dentro de Cuba, que vivían y operaban como los Vietnam.
Los Vietcong.
Como los Vietcong en cuevas, debajo de la tierra, y vivían ahí. Y eso ha pasado. Y los cubanos, esos magníficos que están aquí. Y ninguno se jodió, ninguno jodió. Y ningún guajiro cubano chivateó a esos guajiros que trabajaban con ellos. Ninguno. But when the time came and that the ship of Nixon retired everything from Cuba, the teams that were really inside, not the lo que say they did, refused to leave unless they brought out all their people. You never heard that. And we brought out not solo those teams, but los guajiros también.
And what kind of work were they doing? These people were hiding in the caves.
Well,
information.
You're organizing the riggers. When you had enough, you put all the hardware that you need into them. If you don't know what's going on in there, what the hell are you going to do? Just like now. Nobody knows what's going on in Cuba. So they go in una mierda. It's a perfect police state and it's going to stay there. When it has Chavez giving it money, it's going to stay there because it's the most perfect police state that has existed in this warfare, in this whole world of craziness. Ni los chinos, ni los rusos. It's Cubans who have learned the best of the Chinese, the best of the Russians, the best of the Germans, the capo of everything. And have added to that la picardía y la inteligencia del cubano. And what is in Cuba is the most perfect apparatus that there is on earth.
Oye, entonces me estás hablando donde? Estaba brincando un lado a otro.
Yes, I'm jumping around.
Sorry, Marín.
So what I'm telling you is that after that, what occurred was the preparations for that. Mm-hmm. And you don't know about that, Lucha.
No, nadie ha escrito eso.
No, no ha escrito. Why are we going to write about it? We will eventually have to write about it. And that's why I'm telling you, as a historian, that's a big challenge for you. That's the only thing I'm telling you.
Entonces me dijiste que
it's a task that's mind-boggling.
Yeah, but it can be done.
But you have to get the whole scope and you can't be done in a couple of hours. This is days and days of work.
Oye, me dijiste que...
Yo le dije que voy a caer.
Me dijiste que cuando Soy Marín llega a Cuba, que se va a reunir con esta... con esta...
Él llega a Cuba.
Los americanos.
Se quedan horrified when they learn que todo el aparato de Artime y todo eso es bullshit. ¿Eh? ¿Lo entiendes?
¿Y quién sabe?
No era bullshit.
Who told them? Soy Marín.
Soy.
When he came here,
he told them the facts of life.
¿Y
le hizo... And he told them todos los preparativos que había en Cuba para the worst. Eh? And it was all ready. But it was nothing that the people knew about. It had food landing places, all very different from that. It was one part in Oriente, another part in Matanza. All everything ready. These people didn't have anything ready. Nobody came to the day of peace to help them.
La gente de Artime.
Who?
Yeah.
Who the hell? Nobody did. They didn't have it.
Pero entonces, cuando él llega ahí a la casa, ¿por qué es que va a la reunión esa? En Cuba.
Listen, he didn't go to the reunión. He went porque habíamos citado a dos o tres jefes, tres jefes que fueran a la playa. Y mientras el Tejana descargaba, él iba a bajarse a tierra y darles las instrucciones de lo que había acordado con los americanos. ¿Oíste? Pero no estaban ahí porque habían cambiado los nombres de guerra en Cuba por cuestiones de seguridad. Y quien en vez de los tres, quien estaba ahí, era uno que se llamaba Aldo Vera Serafín, with his wife, family, and a baby born. And in view of that, so he decided to stay and go to that meeting and give the instructions himself. They came out of... He spent all night telling me not to worry, to come pick him up in a week, exact week. And I telling him, Al Ciego, a Tony Cuesta, a Joaquin, a los dos americanos, a los cuatro, a Bayo, he was another guy that you have to write about someday. So all those, Bayo was killed by, I can also know by another fellow. All that...
Bayo was killed by Mascanoza?
No, he was killed. I'll tell you who Bayo was killed, and your heads are going to stand up on it. Anyhow, he decided to stay and do that personally. But then, Francisco refused to go to the meeting. And so he couldn't get in touch with him. Because by cable, by telegraph, los americanos le habían dicho a Francisco que Sorí estaba ahí and le diría las instrucciones nuevas. And he didn't want to take part in that because it was demoting him from a big shot to just handling la provincia de Pinar del Río. ¿Está oyéndome?
¿Y Francisco era el hombre de Sorí Marín en la
isla? No, Francisco era el hombre de Artime.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And they didn't have anybody. They hadn't received hardware, nothing. A little bit before al negro que estaba chavo en Matanza. ¿Se acuerda? En fin. Anyhow. So, finally, ¿cómo se llama? Ñongo Puig, who was a telegraph operator who went in with Solí. He was going in, and then he was assigned to go with Solí. When he landed, Solí took him in his fold and used him as an operator. But they couldn't get hold of Francisco. And Ñongo and his wife, who's here,
Ofelia,
you have some days to make an interview with her, went on the search to get
the meeting together. And in that meeting, by a very horrible coincidence, they searched that building looking for thieves, and the head of the search party there had been in La Sierra and recognized Sori, and that's how they were kept.
Now, okay. I think Sori was shot in the hand.
Yeah, in the land or leg or somewhere. Then we organized to get Sori out of the naval hospital. That was another story. All that going on. Years of horror.
Doesn't Sori, the Americans asked him to come out of Cuba 7 times and he refused to do it?
No, the Americans didn't ask him.
Who asked?
The Cubans did. Oh, he came out to talk and to expose Unidad did.
Unidad asked him to come out?
Rafael was the head of Unidad in Cuba. And so he was the military coordinator.
Rafael de Ajanco?
Si.
Okay. Okay. And so Shorty was the military head of
Ogunia.
Yeah.
And the representative out of Cuba, Ogunia, is Alberto.
Is?
Alberto.
Alberto.
Yeah. Okay.
Entonces, you told me...
I'm at the crux of everything there.
You told me lo que tienes ahí escrito, que cuando Shorty... Yo
aquí había un Howard Johnson y yo instalé a Sori y dos ayudantes que él tenía que estaban aquí cuidando. And then Howard Johnson, then he come to my house and we from here we go to meeting the Americans and I leave them with the Americans. And I went back to Key West to get ready for the next trip. Can't be sitting around. And the third or fourth day after he was here one day, then I on the door, and it was Michael Barker called Anieta Gantini, who wanted, I think he wanted to see Sori, and Paul is fast, right? And he enters, I asked Sori, aquí este quiere recibir, and he said, sí, ¿no? He entered, and in front of me, cuando entra, le dice Sori, eso a ti.
Sori me dijo a Gantini,
yes.
¿Cómo
se atreve un traidor como usted de ir a verme a mí? Well, I told you that instead of doing what he had ordered to be done to go to the Sierra Maestra and combat the communism and see what was going on there, he joined Dilma Espín. Los padres de aquí eran comunistas, colonos allá en Camagüey.
Sori María de Cuba le dijo al Tigre que saltara en la sierra.
No, mi cielo, que fuera a trabajar a la sierra.
Ah, que fuera a trabajar por la
respuesta. Le dio un puesto en el ejército rebelde.
Ah. Y entonces, claro,
para trabajar en una cosa que creó Sori que se llamaba Comandos Rurales.
Okay.
Which was to make roads en la Sierra Maestra. But at the same time, Sori was doing two things, making roads and trying to keep an eye on what he knew was going on in La Mina and Frio, which was the foreign communists who were there starting training.
Y entonces le dijo al Tigre que fuera a trabajar ahí, al Tigre no fue.
No fue.
¿Y qué hizo al Tigre?
Se unió a eso. Por ejemplo, en el Tribunal de Urgencia se reunían la jefatura, el Che y gente así, planificando what the takeover, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Akima would go to those meetings that they didn't even invite Sori, and Sori didn't even know they were going on. He knew they were going on, but he was never invited to them.
¿Y por qué Akima cuando...?
I don't know. I don't know anything to do with Akima. I've never
talked about it. No, y Sori, ¿por qué cuando Sori le piden que salga porque él se negaba a salir al principio?
No se le negaba.
¿O porque él no salía?
Una vez, porque el Fidel vino y se operó en la casa al lado donde él estaba en el reparto de Dupont allá en Baradero. He could not leave to go to the boat at night. That was waiting. Real, we were out there waiting. We were out there waiting,
and the guy who was with it put on a bathing suit and a towel and walked to the beach and passed all the bodyguards up here. And they said, "You going bathing at this time?" "Yes, I go now and then at this time." And well, he was, of course, the fellas were for driving and telling us to get the hell out of there. That was one trip we lost. And the other trip said, "Aparecieron unos magistrados." And he didn't want to come out al, a los que le tenían en esa casa de la familia Bacardi, el encargado de eso, que era la familia Brandicourt, uno de las Bacardi. Ahí era el reparto de Lupón. Those were the ex-reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Bayo was contracted by el americano de los Flying Tigers, como se llama, Pauling.
Hey, William Pauling.
To go with two other crew members of the Tejana and a few more of Bayo control to go and capture some Russians and bring them out. And the poor guys that went on Pauling's enormous yacht
never disappeared.
And no, they didn't disappear. They twice they went, they were just humble people. They weren't prepared for that mission. They were led and ordered and organized on the Tejana. It was one thing, but to go on those missions themselves, they were not ready for that. And they never found the place, Guantanamo, that they wanted to go. And on the third time they returned, the crew of the boat called Pauling or whatever they called, y le dijeron que lo eliminaran. Y del yate de Pauling se metieron recoilless rifles and killed them all. You listening to that?
Yep. So Pauling killed his
gang? I have a picture of him. He said, yeah, Pauling's gang.
They kill these people?
Yeah.
Yep.
Good enough. We've gone through a lot. Right? And I know too much.
Pues hay que escribir tu memoria o, you know,
yeah,
leave them on record, porque a Beto, después que Beto no longer exists, ¿quién carajo va a escribir eso?
Yeah.
I've been telling you for years, Beto,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Oye, y yo no soy historiador de ese rinquincae aquí, tú sabes que cualquier como mierda dice que es historiador.
Sí, that's right.
Okay,
I wouldn't be talking to who I haven't talked to anybody.
No, yo sé. I know, I appreciate that.
Este es un libro que escribió un cubano.
Uh-huh.
Lee por aquí.
No está marcado.
Creo que no está
aquí
marcado. Yeah. Mira a ver si no está marcado.
Aquí. Dice, debe contarse otras cosas que no se conocen. Una de ellas es que él fue quien trajo a Sorimarín a Estados Unidos y luego lo llevó de regreso. Ah, aquí está. No, déjame más. Jesús Fernández. Espérame. Era el quien tenía la responsabilidad de estos trabajos. Iba a llevar a gente en el barco que capitaneaba el que nosotros conocíamos como Fernández Casa. El capitán Matraca. That's you?
That's the name.
You never went by that name?
Never.
¿Eh? ¿Esto lo inventó?
¿Dejó usted ese nombre? Go ahead.
I mean, this guy just made this up, Capitán Matraca.
Yeah.
Nobody called you
that. They called that. I didn't know that they called me that.
What?
Go ahead.
El Matraca era el hijo de un señor que había sido senador por el Partido Autónomo en Cuba, Federico Fernández Casa. Un hombre que tuvo 50, 60 o 70 viajes a Cuba. Era un señor de la familia billetuda, poderosa, educada, que no tenía por qué meterse en estos asuntos. Pues aquel hombre estaba metido, bien metido, está en la primera línea. ¿Y tú conoces a este Orlando Rodríguez Pérez?
Yeah.
Que escribe esos testimonios de un rebelde.
Sí, yeah, I went to books the other day.
Ok, entonces dice aquí que tú fuiste el que trajo a Sorimarín a Estados Unidos, luego lo llevó a regreso, página 220. Dice, otra de ellas que sacó a Barroso y al capitán Aldo Vera de Cuba, y siempre que se le llamaba para alguna entidad, se la creía conveniente, la apoyaba. En esa ocasión, hablando de plantas eléctricas, se pensó como imprescindible hacer un trabajo previo de inteligencia. Para eso pensamos en un amigo que había venido a Cuba, está muy ligado a Elvira Fernández, que en esa época estaba en la isla.
Y
entonces, ¿por qué tú crees que fracasa en la lucha contra Fidel Castro en los años 60?
Before the
DC? Yeah.
Part of it because the Americano hooked on Argentina, the non-comprehension of the Americans of what their mission was, the absence of any Cubans of weight. I was down there. I wasn't up here. I was on the ocean. And here was Miró, Antonio Barón, and all the people sitting their ass on Brickell Avenue there, with humongous calories and whatnot. They permitted the disaster of the brigade on the sacaron a aquel coronel, como se llamaba. ¿Tú te acuerdas que era jefe ahí que lo sacaron?
Ah, sí, de la brigada. Que lo metieron preso. But I thought he quit. I've been told that he quit.
Well, maybe he quit.
That he did not like the plan de los Americanos.
Maybe that was the case.
Okay? Era el coronel.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking
about. Yeah. But I was told he quit.
In essence, there's nobody of responsibility on site.
Y me dijiste que este...
I have not seen any shit. Nobody. Just humble humans doing what they could. And up to the Bay of Pigs, nothing. Just the Tejana. Bueno, and the story of Kirkpatrick. Right now, I'm giving up talking to Felix. Mm-hmm. We took in members of the brigade that went in ahead, and about four or five of them turned around and became agents of him. There's one brigade member who's a coronel de seguridad. I have his name there stuck on the wall somewhere. And there are more of them. There are three or four of them. And he won't talk about those things.
Who? Felix Rodriguez?
Sí. Como enmienda.
Oye, y pues me estaba diciendo que Artime and these other guys were going to get rid of Miró Cardona?
No, they weren't.
Yeah,
that's what we understand, that they had planned, once they consolidate themselves, to give sort of a coup d'etat and take over.
So they were going to impose a military...
Well, not a military, maybe a good civilian one, or control them somehow. They weren't loyal to me, though.
So the heads, the military heads of the brigade?
General Negrito Mieta dice que está exigiendo the life of Riley, que Robert Kennedy, que Bobby Kennedy lo hizo un jefe militar americano ahí, estaba ahí.
Oliva.
Como un príncipe del maricón.
Ok, Oliva.
Sí.
Artime y los hermanos estos...
San Román.
San Román.
Yeah. Bunch of shit.
Once they were going to take over,
that is what we understand.
Okay.
I have nothing to prove it. I tell you what I know.
Okay. look at the day we're going to get rid of these political leaders because they're going to import to los americanos.
That's right.
And Tony Barone y Miro.
Yeah.
Pero ¿de dónde te viene esta información? ¿Y who told you?
I know.
¿Pero alguno de ellos te lo dijo?
No, mi cielo. I don't have a written affidavit.
No, pero no es un written affidavit. Pero el historiador siempre tiene que ir a
hacer you. Not for you, I'm just telling you the general. Well, forget about that.
Okay. No, pero tú sabes que la gente después, you know, people hear something and lo repite.
Well, don't repeat it.
No, yo no lo voy a repetir.
Don't repeat it.
Mira.
All I know, let's say it this way. All I know is what I know that I have participated in. After the day of peace, where are the pictures that I gave you?
Aquí.
That's the Tejana and the Irma Fe. And the Irma Fe started with Joaquin. He was Capitán Labor Americano because the Tejana had one American captain and four Cuban officers. The captain, the Cubans ran it as soon as we left the buoy, and the American captain took it in. But this little boat started at the key biggest game marina that you went by there, 4 months after the Bear Pig, and went from here to Key West, inch by inch to Key West, because este blanco que está sentado aquí made the deal that we were no longer going to have anything to do with the U.S. if they persisted in having things in Latin America, como lo de Venezuela, lo de Guatemala, de toda esa mierda. Everything was here. Y si no, no había nada. And they accepted that. And you have to read a book called The Blonde Ghost. Have you read that?
The Blonde Ghost?
Yes.
No.
You haven't read that.
No.
You have to get The Blonde Ghost. By a fellow called Shackley.
Theodore Shackley.
Theodore
Shackley.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. With the CIA.
King has Theodore Shackley. El
jefe
de los códigos chinos aquí. Right. Y escribió un libro que se llama
Blonde
Ghost. Okay. And that gives you some information about what you would need.
Okay. The Blonde Ghost. Yeah, I got it. It's a good
okay.
Nice. Pero, Alberto, entonces cuando, I mean, yeah, cuando los americanos te dicen a ti, you know, the operations are over. No, en el 68 me dice que cuando llegó Nixon, they stopped everything. ¿Cuál fue tu reacción?
Yo va a ser mi
Primero,
el desastre. Tanta gente que ha muerto en vano. La destrucción de todo lo organizado en Cuba. El tiempo perdido. El engaño. Todo el mundo aquí ha survived. Los oficiales magníficos estos a fregar platos. Yo no tengo un kilo. No sé, se me acabó el kilo. I did all that. Porque if I hadn't done it, nobody else had done it. Nobody else went. I didn't see a damn Cuban of certain economic position. When I started after the VFA, the first team that was trained up there, Alberto went with that team to see what it was like. And when I left, after being there with the team 3 weeks, the first team that trained up there, wonderful training.
¿En dónde entrenaron?
Allá arriba, en la carrera.
En el 60,
después de Cochino.
Oh, after Benfield.
El americano jefe me dijo, you're the only one of your level that has come to these camps. Y así ha sido. No ha habido nada. Guajiro y humilde, algunos vergantes haciéndose que iban a hacer y no iban a hacer nada. Pero en resumen, I learned a lot of things. A Tony Cuesta, después que lo cogieron
que fue una cosa terrible que había ido.
De 65.
Lo pusieron en televisión, de siempre para mí, y me dijo, yo lo quería encañablemente, él siempre dijo por radio, que no, que tenía un jefe, y ese jefe era yo. Que no lo parece, pero sigue siendo mi jefe. Anyhow, me dijo, me dijeron, que era difícil hablar con él ni tener relaciones con él, conmigo, porque yo no hablaba con nadie si no le ponía el detector de mentira. And that's the only way you can operate against these devils. You don't know who's who, and you can't trust nobody. ¿Oíste? Extremely sad. We could talk for hours and days of telling you one final story. I have a young priest in Cuba. He's 34, 35 years old, son and grandson of a friend of mine. He finally came out 3 years ago and 1 year ago. Puerto Rico, and then he comes here to talk to me and see some relatives. The last time he talked to me in Hialeah, after we talked, he said, abrazando, abrazo, hello, llorando, to be frank. Le digo, quiero decirle dos cosas. Una, que yo y mi compañera, porque nosotros educaron en el seminario en Santo Domingo, mandado por el cura arzobispo Santiago, Mauricio, que es el macho de los machos, ese es el macho de la iglesia, ¿oíste? No, estos cabrones jesuitas y él era, en sus estudios allá, en los grandes con amigos que vivían en Santo Domingo. Ayuda a los pobres seminaristas. Me digo, I want to tell you something. Yo y mi compañero, en cualquier momento, vamos a tener que guindar los hábitos. ¿Y no vas a estar mi papá? No.
Es de la
religión. Please.
So we're going to have to leave the priesthood.
Yeah.
It was our task. We're convinced we aren't getting anywhere. We don't know what these people have in their mind. ¿Está oyendo?
Sí.
¿Eh? ¿Está oyendo eso?
La gente en Cuba.
Sí. Yeah. Creemos que estamos parando la mano. We aren't sure that we really have put it into the place, eh? We aren't sure.
How long the quarter of one?
There you are, yeah,
what is
it? Nothing more deadly than these words of a priest. Y la otra cosa, Alberto, quiero que me diga, ¿quién coño va a echar a andar este país? Oíste, and that's the other truth. Le digo, ¿quién coño va a echar a andar este país? So those two things tell you a hell of a lot, right?
Entonces él cree que su labor como sacerdote en Cuba, todos estos años,
sí,
hasta ahora está recientemente.
¿Sí? No lo han hecho todavía, pero se dice que estamos pensando.
Yeah. But I mean, he thinks que todo lo que le ha hecho es en vano, que it's not getting to the people.
Well, they don't know. More or less, that's what he's telling me.
Sí, por la condición moral que hay en la isla.
No, y lo que le han metido en la cabeza es 40 años.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah. Oye, deadly. I hate to tell these things, but...
¿No es la verdad? a Alberto, me jaló a Albert en yo vuelvo en julio, porque voy a promover el libro mío. Okay, if you want to sit down.
We talk.
Okay? Pero...
¿Qué retrato te lleva?
No, eso que me diste, de...
That was the start of the second era after the Berkeley, where we made that deal. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here, this nobody knows about what I'm saying. That deal. No, of the deal that we made. And nothing was done outside of the U.S. after the Berkeley. Yeah. All the ships and whatnot operated out of Florida.
Out of South Florida?
Yeah, out of South Florida, another place. Sí. But nothing was in Florida. Okay?
So all these ships were on the Marathon, the...
No, no. Key West? There were bigger ships. There were bigger ships that needed more cut out.
Mm.
From here south, we only found one place. One place in the key called here, Elliot, there's a little key called Adams Key.
Ah, que Vega Reboso tenía ahí.
Ese cuando te lo hice yo.
Ah.
So ese cuento de Vega Reboso.
Yeah.
Era que good one. Didn't that tell you what a bunch of shit these people want?
Yeah.
Te lo dije a los americanos.
Toda la memoria que yo tengo. Pero eso, un día vamos a tener...
Te lo dije a los americanos. Yo hablo con los americanos cada rato. Te lo dije.
He told you that.
They go, yes. Don't be so full of that again.
I bet un día nos vamos a tener que sentar.
Lo dejaron de General Revenue y le dijeron that until further notice that property is printed to be the government for $1 a year. Se lo quitaron de la mano al banco.
Se lo quitaron a ver rebote.
Sí, sí.
Ya, es decir, bueno.
Sí,
yo Alberto, un día, oye, cuando tú tengas tiempo, pues tengas más confianza en mí, I would like to sit down with you y grabar todas estas cosas, because I can't write every damn thing down.
Right.
Estas son grabaciones que yo guardaré.
You gotta guard
ya, pero no, pero mira, ahora mismo este ver rebote me vino a la mente, pero... El problema es que yo me acuerdo
que
no
sé si tienes que comer mucho pecado, padre.
Bueno,
tenga
whatever.
Mucho fósforo ahí.
Whatever.
You know, you have to feed him food with fósforo.
Whatever, pero... No, no, cuando tú quieras nos sentamos en un go over. A ver, como te dije, mira, yo el libro ese que hice de la caca por Temuca, yo entrevisté a toda esa gente en un principio, ya... Casi dos terceras partes de esa gente en los últimos 31 años fallecieron. Si esa gente no me hubieran contado mi historia, eso, lo único que hubiera quedado es lo que ha escrito sobre
el caso. No me chapé.
¿Eh?
No me chapé.
¿En qué sentido?
No me chapé.
¿Cómo que no se chapé?
Chapé, yo no chapé a mí.
¿Cuál?
Yo no he hecho.
No, I'm not hexing you. I'm not hexing you. No, Alberto. I'm not hexing you. No, yo soy historiador. Yo soy historiador, te estoy diciendo la verdad.